In this bulletin, the UN Secretary-General's last-ditch appeal for a ceasefire as Israel prepares to take over Gaza City. New South Wales SES responds to more than 500 incidents as rain drenches parts of the state. And in boxing, Nikita Zhu makes a much-anticipated comeback to the ring. With the latest headlines from the SBS newsroom, I'm Camille Bianchi. United Nations Secretary-General Antonio Guterres has made a last-ditch appeal for a Gaza ceasefire as Israel prepares to launch its occupation of Gaza City. Israeli Defence Minister Israel Katz has approved military plans to take over the densely populated city, including calling up to 60,000 reservists. It comes after Hamas accepted a ceasefire proposal that would return half of the remaining hostages and pause the fighting. Israel has not officially responded, but multiple news agencies report it won't agree to a ceasefire unless all hostages are released. Mr. Guterres has urged the Israeli government to change course.
I must reiterate that it is vital to reach immediately a ceasefire in Gaza and the unconditional release of all hostages, and to avoid the massive deaths and destruction that a military operation against Gaza City would inevitably cause.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has doubled down in his war of words against Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. On Tuesday, Mr. Netanyahu slammed Mr. Albanese as a weak leader who had betrayed Israel and abandoned Australia's Jewish community. It followed Australia's announcement it would recognise a Palestinian state and the denial of a visa to an Israeli politician who was due to come to Australia for a speaking tour. Sky News has now published part of an interview with Mr. Netanyahu in which the Israeli Prime Minister again attacks Mr. Albanese's record.
Well, look, I'm sure he has a reputable record as a public servant, but I think his record is forever tarnished by the weakness that he showed in the face of these Hamas terrorist monsters.
Mr. Albanese has previously said he does not take the attacks personally and treats foreign leaders with respect. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers is expected to address the media once his three-day economic roundtable concludes this afternoon, amid criticism from the coalition that big-ticket items, including tax and housing, have not been addressed. One proposal for significant change came from the ACTU. It suggested a significant tightening of negative gearing and capital gains tax arrangements. The CEO of Australia's Council of Social Services, Cassandra Goldie, has backed those calls.
We were really pleased to see the ACTU come out, highlighting the need for reform with negative gearing and a reduction in the capital gains tax discount. That's exactly what ACOS has been saying as well, and for some time. And we have a very shared view that those tax breaks associated with property investment are very damaging. They're very damaging because they are driving inequalities. They're very damaging because they are making housing more and more unaffordable.
Opposition leader Susan Lee has put the government on notice over its latest proposal to reduce spending growth in the NDIS. The Thriving Kids program is designed to provide an alternative support system for children with mild to moderate autism or developmental delays, with the government saying the NDIS is not the right fit. Backed by an initial $2 million in federal funding and expected to be jointly funded by states, the program is due to begin rolling out from July next year. Ms. Lee says she is committed to taking a constructive approach to reforming the NDIS, but she remains sceptical of the government's approach.
People are depending on the NDIS, particularly young children. And we know that the plan the government has is for the states to take that over. But that plan is falling apart. There's no certainty for those families. There's no understanding of what it means for those young people who will no longer be covered. So these kids had better not fall through the cracks, Prime Minister, because we will be watching very closely. We're constructive where we need to be and can be, but we will call this out if it runs off the rails.
The New South Wales SES says it has responded to more than 500 incidents as the state is battered by torrential rain and flooding. This has included five flood rescues, with police still searching for two missing people who were swept away after their car crashed into the McDonald River near Wiseman's Ferry. Deputy Commissioner of SES New South Wales, Debbie Platts, says it is a dynamic and widespread event.
We know that our catchments are saturated, that the rainfall is likely to cause anything from minor to major flooding in many of our catchments across New South Wales. The SES has already issued over 33 warnings to people in New South Wales community, and these range from advices to prepare to isolate. So it's important, because this is such a widespread event, that people know exactly what is happening in their area.
She says the public should visit the SES website for up-to-date warnings and download the Hazards Near Me app. To sport now, and in boxing, Nikita Siu has made his much-anticipated comeback to the ring, dealing a devastating first-round TKO defeat to the previously unbeaten Luzlim Ismaili. Ismaili's corner opted to stop the fight after the Macedonian copped a battering from The Butcher at the ICC Sydney Theatre on Wednesday night. After a year out of the ring, it took Siu barely a minute to show there were no lingering effects from hand surgery he had while on hiatus. The 27-year-old brother of Tim Siu finished Ismaili with a liver punch that broke his opponent's rib, improving his record to 11-0. And those are the latest headlines from the SBS newsroom. I'm Camille Bianchi.